The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good evening, everyone. And can you hear me okay, everyone? So, I would like to say a few words here, just a few words at the beginning. What I'd like to do next is to hear some of your questions. And not that I necessarily will answer any of them. So the thing I want to say about questions, sometimes it's much more interesting to have questions than to have answers. Questions do can do some very interesting things. To have questions, there's questions that can open your heart, questions that can open your perspective, what's going on. And then there's also questions that can close you down, that can get contracted and, you know, perplexed, what's going on. A little bit the difference between opening questions and closing questions sometimes has to do with your attitude around them. If you're looking for questions, looking for the answers for the questions, sometimes it might actually close you down. But if there's a way of asking the question, and there's a way of kind of like, what's here? What is this? And then you kind of look, you're kind of interested. In different circumstances of life, there's different questions we might have about that, that are opening questions. Some people have these opening questions that they are very deep, they carry with them in their life, it supports them through the life, and they ask those. They ask this question. For, you know, they don't really want an answer, but it's a great question. So some people love the question, "Who am I?" And heaven forbid you try to offer them an answer. And that's not what they're asking about. Not looking for, but rather they're looking at the effect that that question has, kind of like a wonder, of awe, or openness, or kind of just sense and feel what's there. Who is this person that you're with right now? That's a great question. Who is this person really? Maybe you've been living with a person for 30 years, and you haven't asked that question since you first met. But who is this person really? It can be an opening question situation, because maybe it'd be helpful to kind of look at the person anew in a new way. What is freedom? Buddhism is the religion of freedom. What is it? And rather than rushing to your books for the answers, type out freedom in Wikipedia, is there some way that asking that question that somehow creates space in your mind, space in your heart? Like, what is freedom? And kind of, does it point to something? Does it, some intuition, some feeling, some evocative, does it evoke some kind of experience inside of release, of opening of something? So I wonder, and I kind of would like to believe that everyone has a question. Everyone has a core question or something that they, something important they've carried with them. And it doesn't have to be, maybe I prefaced it too big to say a core question, but I wonder, what questions do you carry with you? Do you have questions? Do you have opening questions that you've lived your life with? So that's my question for you. And I wonder if some of you would like to experiment, try it out, see if there, you can, maybe you've never thought about it this way, but what is your question? And don't be shy, don't feel like it has to be the right question. Do you have a question? Yeah, so maybe you can use the mic.
So I listen to Audio Dharma quite often, And I'm working a lot with trying to be more patient. And I had a little breakthrough when you said sometimes you can think of it as non-resistance. But I still have difficulty with patience. Patience in waiting for the sitting to end. Mm-hmm. Patience with getting from A to B. Uh-huh. Patience with other people. Uh-huh. So is there anything else that I might use on a...
That's a great topic, a great concern. And so since the topic today is not for me to answer questions necessarily like that, I wonder if we can turn that around. And can you kind of restate that in a question for yourself that kind of opens you to the concern? Like here you are sitting, sitting impatient, you want the sitting to end, it's a common thing going over and over. What would be a question that kind of like turned towards that impatience and just kind of like something opened in you? Like it could be like, what is this impatience? What is it? Or some people find, you know, like one of the really basic Vipassana things is... What's the physical experience of something? What's the physicality of impatience? Where is it? Where is impatience? Who is impatient? But so I ask you, can you take, it's a wonderful topic you brought up, I take it as being a serious one, but can you find a question for yourself that about it, some way of relating to it that brings curiosity, investigation, kind of opens you to it? Does that make sense?
I'm not sure how to answer that.
Yeah, maybe someone else can help. What would be an opening question to ask about impatience? Yes, so we would pass the mic so we can... Over here.
What, other than what is happening right now, am I impatient for?
So what am I impatient for?
What do I want to have happen that isn't happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Great. You had one too.
What is patience?
What is patience? Yeah. Is there someone out there? Yes. Battery out.
Thank you for your patience. Maybe what is wrong with this moment?
What is wrong with this moment? How about what is right with this moment? Both are good questions, but does what is right have a better and a more opening? What is right about this moment? Nice one. So maybe now you get a little idea of, let's see, one more, not there.
I often ask myself, what does it take in the sense of what actions are required at the moment?
What's needed.
Yes.
And does that feel like, and how does that open you?
It doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
What is here for me now?
I think it's a nice question. Could you? So what does that question do for you?
Well, the inspiration was also the audio Dharma, the one where you said here.
Uh-huh.
And that keeps coming to me. I have the same impatience issue, amongst others. And when I say the here, I don't know what it is, but it just brings me right into the moment.
Uh-huh. So your question is, what is here?
What is here for me now?
What is here for me now?
Because then it becomes about...
Great. Lovely. Thank you. So over here, see Mike waiting in the hall somewhere? Who had it in here last? There it is, yeah.
I like the one of asking, who's impatient?
Who's impatient? And what does that do for you?
Well, then you can explore, because I like to think there's different versions of Flavios, lots of little Flavios, right? And they have different priorities. And then so one of them is impatient, but the other one's still here sitting, right? So, and trying to just understand, and then can I accept the Flavio that's impatient right now as well?
I see. So maybe sometimes you identify too strongly with you who's impatient, but if you ask, you know, who else, you realize there's more to you than just the impatient one, and then there's more space to be impatient. Nice. Yes?
A question that's really helpful for me is, where does love come from?
Ah, I love that question. But and can you kind of, how's that helpful for you? What happens to you?
I realize that it's not outside of myself usually, that I'm looking somewhere for it. And it's like, it brings me back to like, well, what's between me and feeling that now? And usually it's some sense of surrendering into what's here that just releases something and love is available in that moment.
Great. Brings you right back here, like the woman said out there, but to something inside where love is.
Yeah.
Great. Could you use that with impatience, you think?
Yeah, it seems to be helpful in a lot of situations. Actually, it's usually applicable to everything.
So say it again, the question.
Where does love come from?
Great. Okay, someone else? Yeah. So any other questions? You know, what question do you have? Yeah.
I've been working with what can be released right now.
What can be released right now?
Yeah.
Are you ever surprised by the answer?
Yeah, it's usually not mental.
Yes.
It's very physical. Parts of my body relax or I feel energy move down my body.
Just by asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Great. What other questions? What's your question? Some of you haven't said anything. What's your question? I believe everyone has a question.
The question I've heard for a long time is, what is life?
What is life? And what happens to you when you ask yourself that question?
It's been a lifelong question. And it really makes you try to understand and explore what it is to be alive, what it is to live, and how to live.
So it helps you want to explore, to discover. So you don't go to Wikipedia for the answer?
No.
Great, that's lovely. I like that. Yes, Jessica, you had one.
What has been coming up for me, and it's kind of, I actually have a lot of fear around it, but it seems, you know, I'm trying to be more comfortable with it, is over the last retreat I did is, I guess the more and more I pulled back from my experience, it felt like I felt in a way like I wasn't, like things were just happening and I wasn't controlling them at all, especially through the retreat. And what the question that keeps coming is like, who's driving the bus? Like, and it freaks me out, like especially on retreat, I didn't want to go too far into it, but it keeps coming, like who is like the more, and even as I'm practicing, especially after retreat, going through my day and just really being present in my moments and kind of having a lot of space, it feels like, I don't know, it's like, and one of the things that you said on retreat was things are out of control. And you said it so calmly. So usually we hear like, you know, when you hear it's like things are out of control, like, oh, you gotta fix something. I'm like, yeah, things are out of control. Like, I'm not in control. And the more I like rest back and reside in that, it feels like I'm not driving the bus. Which feels nice for in moments, but when I really start questioning, when this question starts coming, I'm like, yeah, who's driving the bus? Like, I don't know, there's fear that comes up around it.
I see. So as long as you ask the question, it seems like it's good. But if you kind of get concerned with the answer, then you get kind of contracted.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so stay with the question, not with the answers. Anyway, thank you. someone else, especially someone who wouldn't normally say something. I'd like to encourage you to kind of offer something to anyone.
My question is, what's good enough?
What's good enough? And so, in what way does that open you, and what way does that question close you?
I usually feel that whatever I do, I could have done better. And when I ask what's good enough, I get this sense that the answer is arbitrary choice. And it gives me that feeling of freedom to choose what's good enough. Great. Not instantly putting a label that that was not good enough.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you. Over here, to your left, or Kurt's going to bring it around.
Thanks. It's asking the question of what is the most important question.
I like this, but explain a little bit how that works for you.
There's something that it comes after situation what Flavio mentioned is who's asking the question. Is what is the question that I should be asked?
And the consequence of asking that question, what happens to you?
It opens to. It just goes into blank possibilities of everything and nothing.
And then, if you go forward into your life with that, how do you meet life with that question?
The curiosity and openness about every situation becomes. And just keeps laying grounds to opening.
Great.
What is to ask? What is the question?
So rather than going into the situation with preconceived ideas, you go into the question with discovery.
Right.
Nice. What's right behind you?
Does it work?
Yeah.
That's a good question too.
Well. Following the question of the gentleman back there, what is life, which is a pretty broad question, if you're put in a situation of surrender and you just let go of performance and what is good enough and all these questions and you just let life flow, and then suddenly you get, I got the question, well, what are the gifts that I have been given in my personality? And what am I supposed to do and be in life? Have I already done it, or is it ahead of me? Or, you know, what is that? And it really opens up freedom, as you say, to really experience who you are and what are you supposed to do with that?
It's coming from kind of inside rather than your family or
absolutely
telling you what this is what you should do. What are your gifts? What are you? What is your life going to be about?
Right, and there is no should because there are so many shoulds imposed in life with performance in the work world. But if you just really go very deep inside you, then these other aspects of your personality come out.
And I would like to assume that everyone has a gift. Everyone is a gift. To have a gift is good, but to be a gift is better. Everyone's a gift. So, thank you. Someone else?
I've been asking, does it work?
Yeah.
I've been asking myself if it's possible to have equanimity in an intimate relationship, or if Jesus went into the desert for 40 days because there were no chicks there. Because I know that's a contracting question. Any help at all in the room from turning that to an opening question, I'd be really grateful.
So the question is how to have equanimity in an intimate relationship.
How to have all of the joy and connection that comes from an intimate relationship without having the inevitable completely losing my cool at some point.
Oh, great. So you added to your question, you know, you're open for any kind of help from the group here. But turn it back towards you. How would you, it's a great question. Yeah. How could you hold that question or bring forth that question so that it helps you, so it's more opening for you? Even, what way would you go forward with the question? Even without looking, let's say you're not even looking for an answer. There's some way of having that question that just having it does what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have follow-up questions that come to me at 4 a.m. Like, why, you know, why have intimacy? Uh-huh. Like, why have that particular kind of relationship?
Yeah.
It's optional. What's the benefit of it? Yeah. You know, and so, and what occurs when it's so wonderful that makes you want to keep it going?
Yeah.
How to experience that without, you know, clinging onto the, you know, kind of endorphin feedback loop and wanting just that part of it and make it like deeper and richer and more sustainable.
Okay. So you're saying that if you ask that question, how to have equanimity in an intimate relationship, and it has a good effect on you, that question, it brings forth other questions to explore mm-hmm. and develop. That's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah,
I appreciate that a lot. And I wonder if there's some way of simply asking you the first question that doesn't lead to further questions, but just leads to a question itself. Does it create more equanimity? There's some way of asking the question so you feel more equanimous in asking the question.
Asking the original question
yeah.
in such a way that...
Is there some... Because many ways we can ask a question, but can you ask the question, the how you ask that question, that in the asking it, you're actually more equanimous?
So, well, I mean, instead of starting it with, like, is it possible, say, you know, what is possible in an intimate relationship?
Mm.
Something like that.
Where's the equanimity in this moment of the relationship? Mm-hmm. Maybe that would kind of you'd find a little bit right there and then if you ask the question. Mm-hmm. Partly, see, it's a great question because sometimes a question, you know, like what I like to say, if you've heard me say this before, maybe some of you, that if you add a new species to an ecosystem, the whole ecosystem sometimes changes. And so if you if you have a stuffy room and you open a window, fresh air comes in. So by asking a question sometimes, it's like bringing a new species into the ecosystem. It kind of changes the dynamic. It kind of opens space. It kind of, something shifts. Because without the question, sometimes we're fixated and caught up in our concerns, our fears, our desires and all that. Say, what is this? What's going on here? Where's equanimity here? Just that question, then it means you're not caught up so much in the thing that caused you to be unequanimous. So where is equanimity? Oh, and then you're kind of looking around a little bit. You come up for air in asking a good question. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
no. Yeah?
It does.
Yeah, so don't be very careful. You don't get too in, if you're not too interested in answers. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, good.
I haven't experienced it, but it makes sense.
Well, that's step two. now that you understand the principle, now you can try it out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Should we continue? I love this, but should we continue with some more, or are you getting impatient with too many? Yes. Did you have one here? Oh, did you have one? You were trying before earlier? No, I didn't see. No. Okay.
So I have two questions, one that opens me up and one that I haven't figured out how to really articulate yet. The question that opens me up is, what do I need to be happy? Because I often find that the answer is that I don't need anything else, mm-hmm. that I have what I need to be happy. And even when I ask that question when I'm not feeling happy, it can bring me happiness or help me to experience the happiness that I have inside.
Mm.
And the question that I'm struggling with is about letting go. Especially when it comes to my children and letting go of outcomes.
Mm. Yeah. So how do you, so you have this question around letting go, but how do you word that question? So it's a question.
That's the part that I'm struggling with. I struggle with it because I don't feel like I can let go of the outcome in terms of my children.
Yes. I've let go of your need to go to school today. And then school calls you up.
Yeah, and let go of my need for them to be happy, productive adults in the future.
So maybe the connection between parent and child is really deep and complex. You know, it's a biological thing almost, or it is biological. So sometimes if we take these teachings like letting go, you're supposed to let go of everything in Buddhism, right? And that was the other topic of possible talk for this evening, was the talk on letting go, you know. How important it is to let go of everything. So I'm glad I didn't. But maybe the how you word that question is important. So rather than kind of like, how do I let go in some abstract way? How do I let go of my children? It's just too big of a question. It's maybe, you're not going to get a productive answer. But maybe if you ask the question, what could I let go of here? In relation to my children, what could I let go of? I could let go of, small things. Maybe there are small things like that. I can let go of how they dress and go to school. It's okay, I don't have to get involved in that. So where can you let go? And sometimes if you ask it that way, where can I let go? Then you find answers that are useful, and maybe they're small. But small answers, small letting goes, over time add up, make a difference. But if you ask the big question, then it's like, then nothing will happen. You won't get let go of anything then. Does that make sense?
It does, thank you.
May I offer a question? Like, what's the worst that could happen? It's a lot. And my personal question would be, who benefits from the blame? I think this goes back to equanimity.
Who benefits from the blame?
Right.
I love that question.
Because
so tell us a little bit what you're thinking.
So I feel like a lot of times I blame myself for some mistake at work, for example. And I feel like in terms of the four winds, as you were talking about last week, I feel like in my mind I keep thinking, okay, if I blame myself, somehow magically that would fix a mistake.
Uh-huh.
But then I have to convince myself over time that, that makes no sense. So I feel like reminding myself the question, the logic behind how blame, no one knows I'm blaming myself, so it's not like I get credit anyway.
So what benefit does blaming do?
Exactly.
And it's a great question, because many times sitting around blame, as you're saying, benefits no one.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't blame people at work, doesn't benefit them, doesn't benefit you, so mm-hmm. why bother?
It feels really good in a really bad way. It's a very strange feeling.
To blame?
Yeah, I think
so. To blame feels really good in a bad way.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, but you're interested in being free of it?
Yes.
And your question, who benefits, helps you?
Oh. I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. If anyone has any refinement to this idea, that would be great.
And, not a refinement, but a variation of that. Who benefits from me being angry? Who benefits from my resentment? In your room by yourself. Who benefits? Maybe no one. So why do it? If no one benefits, if you don't benefit. Thank you. Over here, to your right.
I have the question. How do I sustain equanimity in the really difficult times, like with the fears, my kids, and things like that? especially like at the times when they always come up 4 o'clock in the morning. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. I can predict that.
Over and over again. Yeah. And so what, that's a great question. It's reasonable for parents to have that kind of question. And so how can you ask that question so it helps you, that it opens you, as opposed to just keeps you awake all night long?
Mm-hmm.
You have a sense of a different way of asking the question?
Well, yeah, like what would be the most helpful thing right now, or what's going on, what's the feeling underneath, and what do I need to do? Oh, how can I be equanimous right now?
Right now, yeah. Maybe like the question of letting go, rather than some, you know, being equanimous like a Buddha right now. That's asking too much. But in what way can for what can I be equanimous right now?
Yeah.
You know, is there some things I can be equanimous about, even though I can't be equanimous about the, you know,
yeah,
everything about my kids? But maybe there's some places you can begin, get a toehold on equanimity. Thank you.
Following on that one, and I don't have anything that opens me around this, in the 4 a.m. dust devils, to mix the metaphor, sorry, there are times when there's nobody driving the bus, but the bus is going over the cliff. There isn't anyone there to remember to ask a question that opens. I'm just submerged. My experience is the fear or the anger or the thing. And especially at 4 a.m., the tenuous attachment to the person who might ask a question has snapped.
Yeah, but then
there's nobody there. There's just this fear.
Yeah, that's why I got that. No one's there. So the way you're wording, making your statement, you're not there to have a problem.
There is an experience of fear.
Yeah, but it's not a problem for you.
Well, the experience is fear.
Yeah, but you just said you're not there for it, so you're not.
There's nobody there to ask the question to get me out of it. I am immersed in the fear. All of my experience is the fear or the anger or whatever, and there's the gentleman in front of me asks, you know, well, who's the other person who isn't, and that is what's lacking. Monolithic. I can't get out of it.
Well, I feel for you. I can feel that it's a big challenge to do this. But maybe we can question whether it's really as monolithic as you think. Because when I said, you know, if you're not, because you said, I'm not there, there's no one there, it's like, but then you don't have a problem. I mean, you don't have the problem, and there's the experience, but you know, you're not there enough to know you have the problem. But you're saying, you pushed back when I said that, and you said, yeah, I'm miserable. If you know, if you're pushing back enough and know you're miserable enough, I'd like to challenge you to say there's just enough space in your mind then to ask a question. You're not really stuck. You're close to being fully stuck. but if you think you have a problem, you're not fully stuck. So use that little crack and see if you can insert a question into it. What do you think of that?
I understand it, but I haven't experienced it.
Well, maybe good enough for me as a teacher would be that you went home and said, I'll try it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good enough. Who said good enough? Who had that question? It was Anna, yeah. Okay. Nothing. No, I just referred back to your question earlier. Be very careful you're not giving advice.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I wanted to share something, but it does sound like an advice. So now I'm conflicted. It's just for me, I completely can identify with that. But my yoga teacher taught me over the years that if I have the fear, if I see the fear, it means that there is one part of me that experiences the fear and the other that is observing it. Mm. And he told me to learn to identify with the observer. Great. And that's the place to start dealing with it.
Yeah, you said you said very eloquently what I was trying to say here.
sorry about that.
So, thank you for all that. I loved these kinds of... I think questions are great. I love that you spoke and all this. So we have 5 minutes left. So I would like to ask a question of some of you, see if some of you like to answer now. How have some of you benefited from this evening, of this discussion? Has this discussion been beneficial in any way? Has it kind of perked you in some way? Or just like to hear something. Yeah.
It's prompted me to ask myself questions because I'm exploring my inner self, and I hear some useful metaphors. The hands on the steering wheel. I feel I have too many hands on the steering wheel. They want to go in different directions, so I can ask myself questions about who's got those hands, and how can I love them and listen to them.
Great, thank you.
This evening has been helpful to me in reminding me that there's so much wisdom everywhere. I don't have to look to one person as the teacher and imagine everyone else as the audience. If I just open my heart and open my mind and stay attentive and listen, I can learn all kinds of really wonderful, useful things from everybody.
Great, thank you. That's lovely. Is someone's hand behind you? Did I see someone? No. Okay, someone else would. How did you benefit? Yes. Where's the other mic? Is it up here on the stage?
What I have learned just by listening to everybody is that mindfulness is really important, to notice what you're doing, but also be an observer and being mindful of that. And then breaking down your questions into smaller pieces, not asking an overwhelmingly difficult question, but start by kind of smaller under questions and see how you can solve it.
Very nice. Thank you. Oh, yes, the first questioner.
I have benefited by asking myself, what does patience feel like? Because I felt that I had patience listening to everyone's questions and answers. Mm-hmm. And so I asked myself, well, what does it feel like? And it felt good. So I feel like I'm not always an impatient person.
That's great. I love that. And so maybe... get more and more familiar, like let it register in your bones, in your cells, the times when you're not impatient. And get really familiar with what that feeling's like. And then think being not impatient is good, but that's you're calling it the absence of something. What is present when you're not impatient? What's the good thing that's present? That would be the next step. So maybe that was great. So now we've gone full circle. You started, and Morgan was great. Thank you. So thank you all, and so maybe you'll find it interesting this week to go and explore the world of questions and how questions can open you, and how awesome questions can close you. And if you see that difference, go with the opening questions and see what it does for your week. Thank you.